study,
and play come together on a Windows 11 PC.
And for a limited time, college students get
the best of both worlds.
Get the Unreal College Deal. Everything you need to study and play with select Windows 11 PCs. Eligible students get a year of Microsoft 365 Premium and a year of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate with a custom color Xbox wireless controller. Learn more at windows.com/student offer. While supplies last, ends June 30th. Terms at aka.ms/college PC.
Morning decisions. How about a creamy mocha frappuccino drink? Or a sweet vanilla? Smooth caramel maybe? Or a white chocolate mocha? Whichever you choose, delicious coffee awaits. Find Starbucks Frappuccino drinks wherever you buy your groceries.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Messi! First career World Cup hat trick! That's another one!
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles, today's guests: Hurricanes head coach Rod Brind'Amour, Indiana head coach Kurt Cignetti, broadcasting legend Marv Albert, Emmy Award-winning actor Henry Winkler, and now, Rich Eisen.
Well, that's correct. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. I'm not going to lie to you. I got my hands full today. We've got not one, but two champion head coaches. Rod Brind'Amour of the Stanley Cup champion Carolina Hurricanes is first up. And then, because I'm a very patient man, I've been knocking on the door of Indiana football ever since they won the national championship against the Miami Hurricanes. And after a while, I think I might have finally worn this man down, because I am obsessed with him. The head coach of Indiana football, Kurt Cignetti, gave us this date about a month ago.
Google me.
And we finally have arrived on the date. Kurt Cignetti will join us in the middle of this show. And then, in hour number three, of all the people I wanted to know his thoughts on the Knicks winning their first championship in 53 years. I brought his name up. I invoked his name to Mike Breen the other day when Mike joined us on Monday's show to kick off the week. I'm wondering, what does Marv Albert think? And he said, yes, to our invitation. I'm assuming that's what he said, or how he said it. And it just so happens he's going to be joining us on this day, the 32-year anniversary of number 32 going on a slow speed chase down to 405. And Marv was at the mic of the NBA Finals between the Knicks and the Rockets on that day. So of all days for Marv to join us, he will join us in hour number three. And then, hey, listen, we're going to go full 70s flashback, because after Marv, we hang up with him. The Fonz will be here. Henry Winkler with a return engagement here on the Rich Eisen Show. And he is an absolute delight. And every single time he is here, it is great. And that's how our third hour will hit. That's our guest list today.
Love it.
So stay where you are. Don't go anywhere. Like I said, my hands are full for all these interviews. And then there's you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. It's a Wednesday, so I've got a power rankings. I power ranked the top NFL defenses recently. So today it's the top NFL offenses. And then, of course, the phone lines will be open for you. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman.
Hey!
Nice. Oh, good job. Who is the man to your left? Who is he?
Hold on.
Hey, there he is. Yeah. Mr. World Cup, working the faders for the World Cup himself.
I love it.
We finally sprung him loose from the Pico Boulevard, where Fox Sports is doing its excellent coverage of the World Cup.
Couple days off.
What's up, DJ Mikey D?
I miss you guys. I really do.
We miss you too. Mike Del Tufo is here.
Is that Dan Whipple?
Well, we'll ask him that question. And for those who don't know what that question means, you shall. What's up, TJ Jefferson? Chill, how are you, sir?
What's up, boys?
What up, man? What up, man?
Hell yeah, it's always lit.
You know, when I don't have one. I'm so sportsed up right now.
Well, you know what?
Yesterday was awesome.
The neat part about it, and listen, you know, we're big baseball fans here. Love talking baseball. Love talking the National Football
League. What sport is that again? Baseball?
I love talking about, obviously, the Knicks winning the NBA Finals. Love talking with you. And then you forget, every time the World Cup comes around, just how awesome it is. And I know a lot of folks might be like, how do you forget that? Well, it's every 4 years. Yeah. And the thing I love about the World Cup is just how big it is worldwide. And then we just get a little piece of it here in the United States normally. But this year we've got a big, huge piece in the fact that we are one of the three nations hosting the World Cup and the lion's share of the matches of the World Cup. And it's every day. It is a Super Bowl for every single nation playing on that day. And it's three, if not four times a day, every day for damn near 2 weeks. And it doesn't stop. It keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. And then one by one, the biggest stars of the sport, of the biggest sport on planet Earth that everyone shares, show up on the stage. And yesterday, Chris, before we left, our audience, you gave, you know, a heads up, hey, today France is out there and Kylian Mbappe's out there. And then, hey, Norway's playing Iraq later, and Norway is in the World Cup for the first time since 1998, and they've got a Norse Viking-looking god in Erling Haaland out there. Keep an eye out for him. And then the big finish, even though there's another match between Jordan and Austria later on to finish up the four-pack, Lionel Messi gets out there for Argentina. And he's in Kansas City. And sure enough, the three guys you mentioned scored a grand total of seven combined.
Just outrageous. It was so awesome.
And one by one, the stars showed up and showed out. And Mbappe being first up, and his goals against Senegal for France, including the finisher with an extra time, was a missile that he sent from way downtown, bang, to use the phrase that, you know, KO always mentioned back in the day. This was truly a remarkable performance by Mbappe, who now has 40 goals in the last couple of seasons, 25 in La Liga, 15 in the Champions League for Real Madrid. And then he adds two more to the list. 14 World Cup goals is a record for France. And, you know, I'm so happy for all those who root for him and root for France. And next up for France is Iraq, which got a good look-see at the 6'5" Erling Haaland. I think Smitch said it best in our group text. It's like if Gronk was playing soccer.
That's a great.
Now, I think Gronk has more weight.
Yeah.
He's
a little more beef.
Bigger dude.
Yeah, a little more beef to him.
You know, you never really can tell when you're who's listed and how they're listed, right? But he's 6'5", 205. And in the same way that, again, that I once upon a time brought my then 12-year-old son, Cooper, he's now 15, to a Kings Oilers game. And I'm like, Connor McDavid's the best player on the ice. And he goes, who's Connor McDavid? And I'm like, just look at the ice. He'll stand out. And then a minute later, he goes, oh, that's Connor McDavid. Didn't even see his name on the back. Haaland is the same way. And he scored twice. The first Norwegian to do that in the history of the World Cup. Again, they haven't qualified since 98, and now they've won a match. And he's the first one to brace, as they say. And his first goal was terrific. The second one, I think he scared the crap out of me.
I think you're totally right about that.
The Iraqi defense made a bad mistake, and he hopped on it. And the goalie made an initial save, but Haaland knocked in the rebound.
Yeah.
And you just look at him. By the way, How great is the Norwegian kit, by the way?
It's pretty tight. And if this is your first exposure to Haaland, I mean, he's ever since he's joined the Premier League 4 years ago, he's led the Premier League in goals three of the last 4 years. He was hurt 2 years ago, and so he was only third in goals scored. But this guy is an absolute machine at putting the ball in the net. And like you mentioned, Norway didn't qualify for the last World Cup go around. So, you know, the world stage really hasn't, and the casuals haven't really seen this dude. And for him to announce his World Cup presence with authority like he did yesterday was awesome to see.
Yeah, and the people at MetLife and the people at New York, New Jersey Stadium, and the people at Boston Stadium?
Yeah.
Calling it Boston Stadium. Stadium.
Okay. Boston Stadium.
It's very far from Boston. Okay. Not close.
They got a close up look.
Yeah.
And then I got to be honest with you. Lionel Messi coming up with a hat trick to surpass Ronaldo for the most goals scored in World Cup history and to tie the great Miroslav Klose.
Brazilian Ronaldo.
What did I say?
You said Ronaldo, okay, but it's Ronaldo. Brazilian Ronaldo.
Okay. So to do that, okay. To do that in Arrowhead, in Kansas City Stadium, are we allowed to call it Arrowhead?
No, it's covered.
I don't know. I mean,
name's covered.
I think everything is city.
But for him to do that, okay, it's up there with the greatest moments in the history of that stadium. And Mahomes was there watching it with his wife, Brittany. And the place was going nuts because Kansas City is the home of Argentina in the World Cup. It's their home base. When I was there for the Big Slick, there you could already begin to see a lot of the fans of Argentina show up there in Kansas City. And the scene outside of Kansas City Stadium was remarkable. The scenes that you are seeing outside of SoFi, Los Angeles Stadium, after the United States won its open.
It's crazy.
Against Paraguay. What you're seeing outside of all of these stadiums. Rob Stone has fans sitting in his lap.
I know. It's like high-fiving them.
You know what I mean?
It's nuts.
And so the stars are showing and the fans are showing and it is nothing short of awesome. Just simply terrific for us.
It's fun
to see, hear, and feel through the television set. And then, you know, one of the greatest days, I think, for certainly the United States in soccer. I understand what we saw from the men's national team on Friday night, but for Mbappe, Haaland, and Messi to do that all on the same day in New York, New Jersey, Boston, and Kansas City, and the stars doing that, and the fans showing up and showing out. It yesterday might have been the greatest day in the history of soccer in this country. And again, in Arrowhead, we're obviously rightfully talking about what Mahomes does there and Kelce does there and what they've done in a dynastic run for the Chiefs. But Messi, World Cup hat trick, first of his career, to tie him for the most goals scored in the history of the tournament in that stadium. It's up there, man.
Pretty wild, yeah.
And it's pretty great.
That's great.
And then one last moment for a star to score and hit the bullseye scoring was Latan doing what he did to Lalas on television. That was outstanding. Boy, he at the back of the net there. I think we know what Lalas said, something along the lines of it was potential arrogance by the French to play the way that they did and then come back. And Zlatan's like, you know, it's confidence, you know. Ignorant people call it arrogance. Intelligent people call it confidence. He shoots, he scores. Oh, and then the look of on the meme created by Thierry sitting on the set. Like,
he's like, oh,
So I've enjoyed the Fox coverage.
It's been great.
The announcers are superb, meeting the moment. Ian Dark, as you know, is one of our favorites. We had him on our podcast before this show was born years ago because of how terrific he is calling matches. I'm loving every second of it. Yesterday was incredible. Harry Kane.
Yeah, the star power continues today.
Portugal's
Rich.
Ronaldo.
Yeah, Cristiano Ronaldo in 45 minutes in Texas, and then England, Croatia. In Houston, and then England, Croatia in Arlington at Jerry's World. Harry Kane. So let's see what they do today.
Speaking of England, before we take our break, returning to the U.S. men's national team, and I know this is kind of like an overreaction potentially on a Wednesday, but it's not out of the realm that the United States beats Australia on Friday, the only other team currently with a win in their first game in their group. So if the United States wins that one, they would look really good to advance, right? And then if they win their group, and if England wins its their group, okay, it's not an it's a their. And then I saw this online yesterday. If the U.S. wins its group and England wins its group and then wins their first knockout match, they would face each other in the round of 16 on July 4th in, of all places, Philadelphia.
No way.
Where, as you know, the first knockout round match took place between the United States and the Brits.
Come on.
And, you know, a Revolutionary War rematch would take place in Philadelphia Stadium between the United States and England on the 250th birthday of this great nation. Get your tickets now.
That's crazy.
I can't wait.
That is entirely feasible for the U.S. and England to face off in the round of 16 on July 4th in Philadelphia. Holy Ben Franklin, Batman.
We need this to happen.
That would be lit.
Ooh. Tickets for that game are already at $2,100.
I bet.
Just to get in.
I bet. And then if it does, in fact, as I say, happen, you know. So that's what's up in the World Cup. And that rhymes. Let's take a break. And the man with the Stanley Cup is the head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes. Rod Brind'Amour will join us to kick off our Day of Champions. From Rod Brind'Amour to Henry Winkler and Kurt Cignetti and Marv Albert in between.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
A bandwagon fan. The biggest insult in sports. But this summer, during the FIFA World Cup, it's an invitation, America. Never watched soccer before? Perfect. Think a corner kick is a karate move? Sure, why not? Prefer sports where players can use their hands? Me too. Just here for the snacks? Now we're talking. So grab a bag of Lay's and jump on the bandwagon. We're undefeated. Lay's, the official sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
O'Reilly Auto Parts can help take the guesswork out of your vehicle's check engine, ABS, or maintenance light with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE certified master technicians. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today. Rich Eisen here, and summer's here too. And that means it's travel season. My favorite summer trip last year was to Sao Paulo, Brazil. With so many fans traveling for the Los Angeles against Kansas City game, they got to see how lively the city is. I love the culture and the amazing food that I'm still craving. Those memories remind everyone that it's that time of year to plan a little getaway. And that's why summer has a way of turning weekends into big events. One minute, it's a normal week, and then all of a sudden, a huge concert, sporting event, or festival brings people in from all over. And when that happens, visitors start looking for places to stay all across your city. So if you're already planning a summer trip of your own, you could list your space on Airbnb and earn a little extra cash while you're away. Doesn't have to be some big year-round commitment. It's about making the most of a busy weekend when your place would just be empty otherwise. I can tell you, people love finding a place that helps them feel connected to the city that they're visiting. If your city's about to have a big summer moment, this is a great time to maximize your space. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Rod Brindamore here on the Rich Eisen Show. Our radio audience just returned. The head coach of the Stanley Cup champion Carolina Hurricanes here on the program. How does that sound to you now, just a couple days into being exactly that, Rod?
Yeah, well, listen, a lot worse things you could be called. That's about, that's the top of it right there, top of the food chain, and we're here, at least for now. And it's pretty special, and what's special is that it's for life now, right? Like that photo, those guys, they'll be brothers for life. And you know, we talked about it a lot going into this, and you got to win it. You know, like second place, no good, right? Like we gotta finish the deal, and really proud of the guys for being able to find a way.
Well, I'm sure you've been asked this, but not by me, so let me hit it. What is the difference between winning it as a player, as you did for the Hurricanes, and winning it as a coach, as you just did for the Hurricanes? What is the
really,
difference, Ron?
Yeah, I have been asked that, and it is different. And, you know, as a player, man, my whole life growing up, listen, that's all I wanted to do was win the Stanley Cup. So since I was 5 years old, put skates on, I'm like, I want the cup, you know, and I wanted it kind of for me, you know, like I was obviously my teammates and everything, but it was like, I got to win this thing. And obviously we did in 2006. And then as a coach now, you want that, you know how great a feeling this is, and you know what it does for you. It changes your life. And so you want it for the guys you're coaching. Like you want them to have that feeling. And, That's kind of watching it through different eyes and a lot more gratitude for it. Like you're, I don't know, it's more rewarding to actually want it for other people, you know, like, and just kind of like watching your kids, you know, whatever they do, you're proud of them and you want them to excel. And that's kind of was for me sitting back behind the bench, just watching these guys and just extremely happy that they are, able to accomplish their dream.
Well, every champion coach I know, regardless of sports, is a control freak. What's it like for you to not be fully in control of, you know, obviously you put guys in a position, you swapped goalies, which I want to talk about in the middle of this Stanley Cup, but what's that like for you to not be fully in control of the puck yourself, Rod?
Well, you know? That's why you're the best, Richie. That's a great question. And, you know, it is tough being a coach in that regard. Like when I played, I worried about my mistakes. You know, I'd come home and I'd be like stressed out about, oh, I should have done that play different. And now as a coach, you got 20 guys. You come home and you're like, why did that guy do that? And you have 20 guys you're worrying about. And there's really not much you can do other than, you know, prepare them as best you can. I've learned to do this. Once, you know, the game goes, it's on them. You know, you're going to make your adjustments here and there, but you got to have them prepared going in and then turn them loose. And it is what it is at that point.
And so the decision that you made to replace Frederik Andersen with Brandon Bussy in the middle of this Stanley Cup, and Andersen was having a great playoff. Walk me through that decision, Rod.
Well, a couple of things. Going into the playoffs, I had pretty much in my head thinking, well, I'm going to use both guys because that's kind of how we did it all year. And to be really upfront, like, Bussy was the number one. Just Freddie, you know, with the experience and the pedigree, it was kind of like, okay, we're going to start him and see where it goes. And he just ran the table for whatever many games it was. It just made it real easy to just keep going back to him. But we also knew, you know, he got wore down, and that was obvious. And so then he got a little nicked up. So it was really an easy decision because I'm not going to put a guy in at this critical stage when he's not 100%. So it went in, and then you had a guy just waiting there that you knew you had a lot of faith in. So that, it was actually a very easy decision. It was about a 2-minute conversation with our goalie coach who runs the goalies. I mean, I asked him, where are we at? And he's like, I think he needs to get out. I said, okay, let's go with the other guy. You know, it's that simple. And thankfully, Bus, even though he hadn't played in forever, just came in like, lights out.
Yeah, three straight to win the comp, that's for sure. And then there's the similarities. Are you aware of the similarities? I'm sure you are, but I'll just run through them. Between the 2006 Cup and the 2026 Cup, 20 years later, you were the captain then, you're the coach now. Your current captain, Jordan Staal, your Conn Smythe Trophy winner, is the younger brother of Eric Staal, who was a teammate on your team, right? 2006?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah. The rookie goalie in 2006 was Cam Ward. You got Bussy.
Yeah.
In this one, I mean, do you think the hockey gods were winking at you here, Rob?
You know what? I think they were. I think they were. There's a lot of things that lined up. Those kind of little things that you mentioned, but you know, you mentioned Jordan Staal, like his brother, you know, was on the team that I played for. Mm-hmm. And then I coached, you know, I was assistant coach here for quite a while too, and coached both of them. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, just watching Jordan Staal play the way he did, first of all, that's how he plays every night. And I get to see it all the time for 14 years that I've been here, but he's been here, and to him to shine at the biggest time, you know, I just am so happy for him because that guy is a beast. And he gets the toughest matchups, and he's got to take, you know, all the heavy lifting for this team. And, you know, it's great to see him get rewarded.
What'd you do with the cup in 06 when you got a chance to have it? What were you doing?
Well,
what'd you do?
It's kind of, I got to, as the captain back then, the way they did it, you get to take it home that night after the celebration. So that was kind of cool. Just you're there all night at the rink, but then just kind of took it home. My kids were in bed. I stuck the thing in my kids' bedroom. And when they woke up that morning, you know, they're what they have. And then you get a day with it and, you know, you try to do something nice. I took it back to where I grew up and had a little community thing. And then, you know, you just let the people that help you along the way, you know, celebrate. So you just have a little celebration at home. I'm not, you know, nothing over the top or anything like that. So, anyways, a special night for sure to have it. And these guys do a little more crazy things now than I do. I can tell you that. And they're going at it. They've been 3 days now. I just saw the guys. They were going for day four, and they're on a bus going somewhere with it to keep going. So I love it. I love that they do that because this thing is so hard to win. And we ask a lot of these guys for 9 months, and we've been going at it since September. And, you know, now they can finally enjoy it.
So your kids were sleeping and they woke up the next day and look what dad brought into the room.
Yeah.
Is that basically?
Yeah.
They woke up to the Stanley Cup next to him.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the kids, everyone's involved, right? You sacrifice a ton, missing a lot of stuff doing what we do. And it was nice to just, you know, I mean, I didn't get to bed, but it just plopped it down and my boys woke up with it in their room. And, you know, then we had everyone come over and you have a party at your house. Listen, hockey is it is family. And then you hear that all the time about team stuff, but it takes everybody. And so it's nice to be able to share it with everyone that had a part in it.
Yeah, we had one of the keepers of the cup here on the show, I believe last year, Rod, and we asked him what's the youngest human that's ever been in the top of the cup, and he said a newborn. He said basically somebody's been born and they place somebody's
– Oh, yeah.
It really is – I love that sort of stuff. When does a coach get it, though? When does the coach – are you last in line, Rod?
No. Well, maybe. It kind of just depends, but we actually went over that today too, trying to figure out it gets coordinated. The players get, you know, we got to run the list, and then it kind of goes geographical. If you're, you know, you live near so and so, if you know the European guys get it, well, if you're over there, it just goes geographical. Okay. But after the players get it, then you run down the list and you try to make sure everyone that, you know, had a big part in what you're doing gets a day with it because it is that special.
I mean, it is so great for you. And a few minutes left with Rod Brind'Amour, the head coach of the champion Carolina Hurricanes here on the Rich Eisen Show. Listen, you know the history of this game. Names like Toe Blake, Hap Day, Cooney Weiland have been around forever and a day. And now your name is on that list of the only individuals to win a cup as a player and a coach for the same team.
Yeah.
That's it, man. How does that hit you?
Well, those names you mentioned are way back. But what makes it special, Rich, is that, you know, not many coaches in sports get to do the way I get to do it. And that is, I've been here 26 years now. I got traded here from Flyers way back when, and it just became home, and, you know, met my wife and my family's here. Like, and I played for this team for a long time, and then I'm still coaching it, and it's kind of special. It is home for me. You know, I don't just, you know, throw on the Hurricane stuff and you know, the next day you get gassed, you're coaching somewhere else. Like it just means a little more. And that's what's special about it. And, you know, I've been lucky to have the guys that I've coached here. I've been here quite a while. We've kept the group together, which is rare in, you know, in sports. So it's kind of a unique situation. I know coaches have a shelf life and, you know, mine's coming at some point, but been pretty fortunate to be able to do a job like this in my home, you know, where I live. And so very special.
You know, I'm no hockey historian, Rod. And certainly, you know, I'm certain in saying that Toe Blake, Hap Day, Cooney Weiland, the only other coaches to also win the cup as a player for the same team, they most certainly did not look like this when they celebrated as a coach, Rod. That's, I can basically, you know what I mean? Like, I don't, we were looking to see if we could see a Toe Blake shirtless shot. We couldn't find one.
Yeah.
But
tough to find.
Rod.
Tough to find.
Rod
hey,
the Bod. I know that's a nickname of yours, man, but come on now. I mean, were you showing off here or what?
No,
come on now.
Listen, that's in the locker room, but this is what happens. This is social media nowadays. Yeah, they didn't have it back then.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be in the locker room. And of course, my one of my players ripped my shirt off. And then I was like, all right, it's go time at that point, right? So you gotta make it happen. So, you know, special time, as you know.
Mm-hmm. What's a cheat day look like for you then, Rod? That's my follow-up question. What's a Rod Brindamore cheat day like?
Man, I'm boring. I'm boring. Come on. You know, it's just I don't have a lot of cheat days in my life, to be honest. I try to take every day as they come and be grateful for it and make the most of it. So,
come on now, Rod. I mean, it looks like that's you have no cheat days, but there has to be one. There has to be. Like, what is it? One slice of pizza? What is it?
No. There's my cheat days. I eat whatever's around. I got four kids, and they, I mean, we, you know, I don't go to, you know, fast food too often, but I mean, cookies, you name it, whatever they got flying around, I'm eating it. And that's why I got to try to take care of myself, because I don't have the best diet. That's the one thing.
Okay. Then I need your metabolism, sir. I need your workout regimen, or I probably would fall down.
Rich, every day. Just get up, you get after it. First thing. Because if you don't, you're not getting to it.
Okay.
That's the secret.
I will take that advice. Congratulations, Rod Brindamore.
Yeah.
Really,
all right.
Because I definitely called your highlights back in the day when I was on SportsCenter. That's for sure. I'm sure I covered a CCHA game or two with you. And congratulations.
You blocked it out because the Sparties spanked you guys. So that's what happened there.
That's what it is. Yeah. That's right. And then we played football. And then we could just end the conversation, right?
All right, you got it. All right.
Take care of yourself. Congratulations to you and your organization and your family.
Take care.
That's Rod Brindamore, everybody, the head coach of the champion Carolina Hurricanes here on the Rich Eisen Show. See, his players took the shirt off, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody back off.
Hey, it's fine.
But, I mean, if you got that, you flaunt it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sure.
So stupid. I'd never wear a shirt.
Good Lord. Even Ben Johnson's like, man, put on a shirt.
Like, whoa.
Good Lord. Good times for the former Hartford Whale. That's the way we remember it up there from back in the day when I was calling Brindamore highlights on SportsCenter.
Oh, my.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, my. There you go. They got the Ben Johnson drop. All right. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your phone calls and get you set for hour number. Kurt Cignetti, man. Kurt Cignetti is going to join us on the program.
Google me.
Damn straight. Can't wait for that. I honestly have been waiting 6 months for this interview.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
While the world watches the stars at the FIFA World Cup, Hyundai has its eyes on the next generation of talent. Future stars who are already turning heads at age 14. Because next doesn't wait for an invitation, and neither do we. Hyundai has always moved the future within reach. We did it when we made advanced safety standard on every vehicle and engineered EVs with ultra-fast charging capability. And we're still doing it every day. Because the future isn't some far-off concept. It's already here. Next starts now. Hyundai, an official partner of FIFA.
MLB.tv on ESPN is your home for every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
Catch your favorite teams and players, plus MLB Network and ESPN app features like multi-view, syncing your stats, key plays, bets, and fantasy all in one place. Sign up now for MLB.tv in the ESPN app. Separate subscriptions required. Blackouts and other terms apply. Visit stream.espn.com/MLBTV for more information.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Kurt Cignetti is joining us in about 40 minutes' time. We've got power rankings to come. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. All rise. Let's take the phone call of a longtime listener and favorite, Terzo, in Iowa. What's up, Terzo? How are you, brother?
What's up, fellas? Hey, Rich, I owe you an apology here because back whenever the playoffs were starting, I said that I thought the Celtics had a great opportunity, and I thought that the Pistons were going to kind of compete with them in the Eastern Conference Championship. You said to me, what about the Knicks? And my response back to you was, I didn't have any faith in Mike Brown. So I got to fall on my sword on that one because what he did in the finals was fantastic. He outcoached Mitch Johnson. And I'm proud to say that I was wrong because that was a heck of a story. Those comeback wins by the Knicks made me some money. Hey. And it was the first time that I ever felt comfortable each time betting the money line when they got down because it always felt like they were going to come back. And so kudos to that team and Jalen Brunson, man.
Well, listen, two things. Number one, what's the phrase, Chris, in gambling? What you say all that?
Good teams win, great teams cover.
Okay. Secondly, you're not alone, dude. You know what I mean? Like the Knicks are a team and a franchise that people were not believing in, and for good reason. I mean, 53 years of reasons, and including recent history. And then they fall down 2-1 to Atlanta, and it's like, oh no, this is a problem.
Yeah.
And then the pedal got pushed to the metal and everything clicked. Everything absolutely clicked. And so you're not alone. There were doubts in New York City halfway through the first round. Not even.
That's just being a New York fan. But I got a question for you, Rich.
Okay.
Out of these three championships that you've had with your favorite teams, and you've had a little bit of time to digest this Knicks win, which one of these three championships means the most to you right now?
The third one being Michigan football, is what you're saying?
Michigan football, okay. Michigan basketball, and then this New York
Knickerbockers
championship.
Before I was a Michigan Wolverine, I was a native New Yorker. I mean, that goes without saying, you know, and grew up with people in grade school and you know, high school with whom I'm still friendly and close, and we are sharing these moments via text and phone calls and things like that. So obviously the Knicks winning it for the first time in 53 years, first time in my lifetime, is up there. And then Michigan football and Michigan basketball, you're asking me to choose between children. You know what I mean? I mean, they're you know, the Michigan football, I'd never experienced one of those. Michigan basketball, I had experienced one of those. And then when they won it again, it just reminded me of my college days. So they were both, you know, heartwarming and memory invoking. And so I'm not going to choose between those two. I'll tell you the Knicks, though. I mean, that's it. And thank you for the call, Terzo in Iowa, ladies and gentlemen, causing me to choose between favorites like that. That's not right.
Everyone has a favorite.
You can choose, Rich. That's
no, but again, I'm a New Yorker before I was a, you know, a de facto Michigander, you know, for sure. George Pickens showed up for you, sir.
Ooh, we did.
He sure did.
You're not trying to miss out on no money, man.
Well, I don't
get that money.
He wants the money. Listen, franchise tags are slapped or applied, and they're applied on people who don't mind it.
Bust the budget.
It's always slapped on people who mind it.
You always get a good chunk of change.
That's the phrase. I know that. So, I mean, George Pickens is not going to be, you know, looking for a free meal or two. I mean, everybody does, but.
There is less pie.
I know a way he can get a free meal for the rest of his life.
Well, winning it all. Look at what the Knicks are.
I'm just saying.
I told Mike Brown through this camera, and his money's no good in New York anymore. New Jersey. The greater metropolitan area. There better not even be a place in Connecticut, west of Hartford, that asks to see his credit card. Same goes, obviously, for anybody who played for the Knicks this year. But Pickens showing up, and he met with the media on Tuesday, and he was asked about being there at all.
Just really the team, you know. When I just think about the team, the run we could have had, you know, certain stuff just being in place and could make something bigger, I kind of think about that and take that into a part of a decision to make.
Was it ever any doubt? I mean, when you signed the franchise tag, was there any doubt that you would be here for the minicamp?
Not really. It's just more of just time. And like I say, if you got guys, rookies coming in, want to learn, and then you got other guys that's not even here yet as well, I want to be here with all the guys.
We haven't talked to you. Can you talk why you signed the tag, why you signed it so early?
Just really because when it was presented, it was kind of presented kind of early, so I just did the best that they wanted me to do.
Any disappointment about not getting a contract extension right now instead of waiting for next year?
No, not really, because the game going to be the game. You know what I mean? Money is kind of tagged to it. You guys' job, office job, you just kind of want to do your job at the best ability.
What is it, $27 million for the franchise tag? Is that what it is? Look that up.
I think that's about right.
So, that's Clarence Hill.
Asking those first few.
Many of those questions are.
Yeah, 27.3.
That's what I liked his answers.
That's what he's making. And top of the receiver, if you will, food chain is what, $40 million for Ja'Marr Chase? Okay. Then again, the reason why he's on the Dallas Cowboys is because the Steelers were like, yeah, we're done with him, no matter how talented he is. I'll never forget Mike Tomlin when talking about him when he first got there, is that he's spectacular. And I coach him to do the routine things routinely. That's the sort of stuff they were trying to impress upon him. If the route calls for five steps, seven steps, these many yards, that many, paces to the left, to the right of the hash mark, be there. Because that's where the quarterback wants you to be. And other places, other times, he didn't want to be there. Where he couldn't be there, where he didn't focus on being there. And then last year, he and CeeDee Lamb weren't there, right? To kick off a Monday night game against the Raiders. Then they showed up. Then they both scored, I think.
Yeah.
Exactly. Which is why I love what Brian Schottenheimer's doing, you know? And you could sit here and say, great discipline. Whatever. Bottom line is he's there. And then he was asked about, is he going to hold out? An interesting choice of phraseology here. Go for it.
Like I say, that's always their opinion. I don't really like criticize what they say or what they do. I just feel like that's an opinion that they have, and that's all I can really say. I haven't.
Would you hold down?
Nah, definitely here now. Like I said, the group of guys that's with the Cowboys kind of prevents you. If you know guys, you're going to guys' house, you're talking. Like I talk to Dak, I'm still throwing with Dak. It's definitely going to make you not want to hold out.
Okay,
love it.
Great.
By the way, JSN has the 42, so he's
42. There you go. That's it. That's right. He's now surpassed Ja'Marr Chase. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that refresher, sir.
Yes,
I appreciate that. Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Would you give George Pickens that money?
Woo!
You know he's asking for it. 40. You know he probably is like, you saw what I did last year.
Yeah.
You see what I can do. If you're the Dallas Cowboys and he's like, I need to, it's my turn. Mm-hmm. You know how it's your turn. Reset the market. Dak did that once upon a time. And boy, did they reset the market to the
point
where the market
though.
Has not been reset to that tune since.
I know.
Didn't Pat just reset it though?
Well, I mean, it's an extension.
Okay. Well, look, CD's getting 34, right?
So if you're Jerry, that's the limit, right? You can't pay him more than CeeDee.
Well, if you do, now you're going to have problems with your 1A. Because at some point now he's going to be like, you're assuming. Because this is a lot of money, right? So to squabble over, $5 million, that's a lot of money. But these guys.
It's more than that. I mean, again, CeeDee making 34. And
you can't give George 43.
And CeeDee went through a lot to get that.
Yeah. Okay. So, nah, you can't. Respectfully to George, you can't give him that much more money than your 1A.
If you're Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones, I can't give you a penny more than CeeDee Lamb.
I wouldn't say that.
I would say that, and I would say that right now. That, hey, listen, because I do believe it's the same representatives as Micah Parsons. CeeDee walked, so
So George could.
So no, no, no. So Micah could run, and then we would trade him. CeeDee went through a lot to get that money, and we put him through a lot to receive that money when we all knew he was going to get it. So I can't pay George Pickens after 1 year here with his background that he arrived here with. He might have a different body of work off the field than Pittsburgh, but I still can't give him a long-term deal making a penny more than CeeDee Lamb.
What if he outperforms CeeDee again this year?
Then now we're talking, which is why you franchise tag him, and let's see what you can do. And hope that Brian Schottenheimer handles the business to the point where he's not going to turn around and say, right now, he's saying, I love the guys too much. If you're in my position, being in their house and playing with them and seeing what we can do collectively as a team, holding out is not an option. You know, I'm not going to not arrive at training camp and leave these guys, you know, empty handed in my position, or allow the next man up to try and fill my role. I'm just not going to abandon ship. You could say that now because we're not at deadline moment and there's still potentially another month to figure something out. But if you're the Joneses, would you really call CeeDee Lamb in your office, say, we got to pay this kid more than you?
No.
No. Right?
No.
I would think after just 1 year of spectacular production, there's no question about it. So, yeah, I'd be saying that to him, and maybe that's why we're at the franchise tagged impasse. If it is an impasse, he's basically saying it's not. I'm here.
Yeah,
I'm here with the guys. I love being with the guys. I know. And by the way, which echoes what Brian Schottenheimer said their conversations are about when they talk. So it echoes what it backs the play of what the coach is saying to the media, which is great to see too.
Let's take him at his word then.
Kurt Cignetti is going to join us in hour number two. Don't you dare miss it.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.